WLR's Week on the Farm, a Data Today special.
Thanks to IFAC, an expert team of accountants and financial advisors with specialist knowledge of farming, food and agriculture business.
Well, good morning, Damien. This morning we're out here in Colligan in West Waterford to Ballyconry Bow. You might have heard of the farm, fresh pasteurised milk from John and Carol Kiley's farm. So I got a chance to talk to the family here this morning. But first man I got to talk to is the man himself, John Kiley. John, sure, yeah. You've had cows here for a good number of years.
Always, yeah. Dairy was always. I was only 14 when I had to stop school to milk cows. And it was a bucking milk plant at the time. And that was there for years. And then we went on to a milking parlour.
So you hadn't really a choice at 14, you were in working on the farm with your dad.
Yeah, but like I was supposed to take two years, you know, right, an agricultural course and a carpentry course and things like that, like, you know, cycle in, cycle out.
And of course, milk's the cream at that time, you were putting on a churn and bring it down to
the end of the road and a traction train, you know, just call it along and pick it up and bring it into the creamery. And then we're back to Cannes. And a few years down the road, he went off the road and I was transported to Dungarvan with a candy trailer.
And that was a lot of time consuming as well, a lot of work involved. But it was part of your day and, of course, socially as well. You'd meet other farmers in the creamery when you'd arrive.
Yeah, it was our livelihood.
Yeah.
Dairy was our livelihood. And you had to go and do it and that was it, like, you know.
Obviously changing then, the big changes came with guitars and the bull tank. Was that difficult to embrace or were you one of the first to get involved there?
Well, there was only another man here locally, myself, that we knew of, and we went and did it. And they were coming along then after that. Lord Fleming was the
Alpha Laval.
Alpha Laval. We're still Alpha Laval. But no, that was it. Like, and then,
and number-wise, did you start, obviously, in the early 70s with the EEC and a lot of, we'd say, positive talk about dairy and the potential? When did you start to expand?
When we started expanding, I suppose, we ran into a period of TB in the area.
Right.
And we weren't losing much, but you couldn't buy or sell. And then I took a place, 24 acres for grazing. And shortly after taking it, I bought it. And it was outside place, it would be at his price. And then shortly after that, there was another neighbour here. He was old and he decided he wanted to get out. Okay. And he offered the neighbour and myself his 55 acres between us if we agreed to divide it, which we did, of course. We did.
So expanding number, what type of numbers are we talking about?
We went from, I'd say, about 18, 19 cows in my early days. We went up at that stage up to about 40, 50 cows. We were going up the whole time as a bit of land was coming on stream. And then there was another Baron locally again. I took 35 acres for 5 years and we cleaned it up. And it was nearer than our own place, just up the road beside us here. And
a little there.
Then they decided they were selling it and Johnny came along and he bought it. At 35 acres, and then the cows were going up.
Right.
And then Johnny's nice again, there was another neighbour down the road, and he got old and he left it between.
So it started to fall into place and you expanded.
But they were all bounding. They were all our bounds and they were all our neighbours. It was a very close-knit village.
Now, you mentioned Johnny there coming aboard. You as a young lad got involved. Was Johnny always the man that was?
He was, at the farm. He was. When Johnny stayed at home first, he gave a, I never Radley, they were a year.
2 years, yeah.
About a year and a half at Radley's. And then we decided, like, four of ourselves, like, and all I had an old
Valerie, congratulations. And you got Johnny involved?
The house now, so we'd have it done and get it over and done with, and ran into a lot of problems with a bad solicitor. The farm that we divided, it roughly would have some 13 years I had it out, and the neighbour had none of it.
But turning then to Johnny, you getting, at what age were you when you realised that farming was going to be for you?
Always. Farming was always what I was hoping to do. But, you know, since I was small, there was nothing else, you know, school, nothing. There was nothing else.
His mum tells stories when he used to herd the cows. His milking parlour was under the kitchen table and he'd have balloons under the kitchen table putting them through the chairs, you know.
So. I could be at the gate, the way up.
That's just the way it was.
So obviously, your brothers, of course, Willie and Tom, part of the county panel today, were met into hurling. Were you not as keen as the hurling as you ended up?
No, I was. I enjoyed playing for the local club. Probably wasn't at that standard anyway, but
okay.
It was always farming, you know what I mean? I'd miss anything to stay.
So taking over for Dad, and your dad mentioned there, of getting involved at such a young age, taking over a dairy farm, big undertaking, but you loved what you were doing and you could see the potential.
Yeah, as I said, the opportunity was there then, you know, quotas were going. The opportunity was, it was a cheaper opportunity to expand, you know, because you didn't have to buy quotas. So, and the land was coming on stream. So we just took it on.
Parlour-wise, your dad had set up the parlour back in the day. At what stage did you have to look at expanding the parlour, indeed, obviously expanding the herd?
When we took on the extra land in, we had to raise the cows to meet the forage payments. And I gave years in pouring concrete and welding and things, so I was able to tip away at it myself, you know. So, as I said, financially, the parlour was kind of the last thing we could look at, you know. We had to kind of cover the land.
Or see a lot of the buildings yourself, a lot of the steel work that you'd be bringing in outside labour for.
Yeah. And that's just the way we did it slowly. But like as I said, that's the only way we could have done it, you know.
Milk quotas then obviously put it for the stop on all of this. Did that really restrict you in the sense that had you expanded enough at that stage, or is it only since then that you've...
It's only since then we got the opportunity to kick on, you know, as I said, because the land was free then. As I said, we took in 70 acres. Like, there were 70 acres here, we took in 70, and that just gave us the opportunity to do something then, you know. Well, we had no choice. We had to meet the repayments, so we went that way about.
On top of that, we're going to speak to Noel Carmel, the woman herself, Belly Connery Board. I spoke to you during the food festival about this. That was a fantastic concept, but obviously having an idea, but bring it to fruition, obviously. It's an added value coming into the farm, but the whole idea, you might tell our listeners where you got this idea from.
Yeah, so the idea kind of sprung from a farm we had seen up in County Louth at Riskin during COVID. And at the time, we had four young children. We had a baby. So I had a baby at home, a 12 o'clock collection, a 2 o'clock collection, a 3 o'clock. And with COVID, we were nervous. You couldn't ask your parents to mind a child if, you know, during those times. So I'm a teacher. We'd seen this idea. And I said, look, well, I asked for the career break. So I approached my principal in Yale, and Seamus was very good. And so he said, drive on with it. So kind of from there, the idea was born. And we thought, look, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You know, I have the security of the job behind me. And we drove on from there. In May 2021, we started the process. It did take us a good 2 years to get going. October 2023, we opened doors.
Going for help and advice, obviously you could have a great idea, but were the people already involved there to help you? Was there an enterprise board? Was there Chagas? Was there Moorpark? Where did you go for help? Because it was a big...
It was very new. Yes, very new at the time. So when we started, we would have been the second, say, in the Republic at it. So I spoke to Tomás and, you know, where to go, where to get the machinery. And a lot of the stuff is bought in from Europe and the UK. So we were trying to source something more local. There was no real board that we approached either for funding. And look, unfortunately, the idea was so novel. It was so new. They were kind of afraid to touch it. So we had to stand on our own 2 feet, which is back to the banks. But in hindsight, it gave us time to really see, is this what we wanted? And the passion is behind it. And look, I don't think any business is successful unless you have that drive and that passion. Within time, within a few years, there was another few lads came on board and we just all kind of worked together and looked to the UK. Look to you.
Have you a group now of people involved? We need to do this on-farm pasteurising.
Yeah, we do. A small little teething farm. So there's about 25 of us now in the country between here and Louth at it, and more on stream. So a lady just actually opened up in Cork last week. So we're there for each other, and a problem I would have, someone can fix it. I could fix someone else's problem. So just really learning through.
To our listeners, Belly Connery Bow, you want to explain what it actually means and indeed the service that you provide and the range of products you supply.
It's quite similar to what John had started back, I suppose, 70 years ago. It's plain old milk, it's pasteurised and it's non-homogenised. So all we do to the milk is we heat it for 15 seconds at 72 degrees just to kill any harmful bacteria. And that's it. There's no processing. And I think UPF, ultra-processed foods, they're on the main and fubble, the tongue of the people, big time at the moment. And people are more conscious about what they're drinking, what they're eating and what they're consuming into their bodies. So the milk, it's just a natural, wholesome product. So we pasteurise here on the farm. You can see the plant now shortly. And then we transport it down to the pod, which is essentially a dollied up porta cabin. Down there you have a vending machine and glass bottles. So it's all self-service. You come along, you can buy your glass bottle or bring your own container, and you approach the vending machine and you can get out your litre of milk for 1.70 or your flavoured milk. So flavoured milk would be a big hit with the kids. It's a good way to get the calcium.
And you've a variety of flavours.
Absolutely. You go from the traditional chocolate strawberry to cream egg, Oreo, Kinder Bueno, salted caramel.
And looking after a place like this, because I've seen it on my way up here to the farm, obviously security-wise, indeed, maintenance and indeed cash flow, or indeed is it all online, or how does it work?
So it's 99%, to be honest, is cards. So it's a tap system. It's great to be able to be at home to do these things. Like I had thought taking on this job, it's great, I'm going to be at home for the girls. But they'll tell you I'm nearly more often gone than I'm not. But I'm not far away. I'm only 100 yards down the road. So you keep on top of things, if there's milk spillage, things like that, just to keep it tidy. And you want the place to be spick and span. We have to meet regs as well with our milk. So that's good for the consumer to know that we still do our urine tests and everything.
But definitely know the feedback from the bus BA, the bus guests that travel out here during the visit to the food. The response was huge. Listen, it's a great success story. We're going to take a break, Damon. We'll be back in part two. We're here in Ballyconnery-Bow in Colligan, just outside Dungarvan. Talk to the Coyote family.
WLR's Week on the Farm, a Daisha Today special.
Thanks to IFAC, an expert team of accountants and financial advisors with specialist knowledge of farming, food and agriculture business.
Well, welcome back, Damien. This morning, as I said, we're out in Ballyconnery-Bow and Colligan talking to the Coyote family. Johnny Kiley, or John Kiley Jr. John, you mentioned just before you came on air, you're involved obviously in liquid milk or in all year round winter milking. How difficult was that change of when did you actually get involved in winter milking?
Oh, we got involved with it when once quotas left. She was kind of the type of the breed of cow we had. We had a Holstein cow, and you know, for spring you found it hard to fit it into a window, so it just suited us to spread them out and you know, not cap them in such a time. And of course,
spread the workload is a big tip.
Spread the workload and help cash flow in winter months. You know, once you close down the pail and nothing coming for months, that doesn't help. So,
now I know, speaking to some of my colleagues and former colleagues inside in Zambia in Tirlaan, the quality was never a problem out here for you. So, switching to winter milk as regards getting all those somatic cells and all those solids right wasn't an issue.
No, it didn't seem to be. And we got great support from Columbia, and you know what I mean? The advisors were good to us. So it just seemed to work. You know, once you stay talking to people, you figure things out.
Obviously, going winter milk, none this year, you're milking all year round. So therefore, you need winter facilities and you need hands on deck as well. So how do you cope, first of all, from facilities, and secondly, as regards labour?
Facilities, well, as I said, you know, I do a lot of welding things. So I was able to modify sheds and put them off, you know, to suit, and labour. I have the boss man with me, and we have a nephew then that's in college at the minute, and he's around weekends and during the summer. So
great to have that combination, father and son, still working together in harmony. Obviously, there's some rough days, but
they're happy very soon.
And of course, the days your dad will be tied up with the hurling and the local St. Pat's.
Oh, you know, I got up that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, as I said, it's fantastic because, you know, you have someone with you that cares. So, you know what I mean? And you can switch off a bit and, as I said, go training or go somewhere. And, you know, there's someone very conscious at home watching out for everything that's going right, you know.
The changes with sustainability and the whole focus now on clovers, low emission, slurry spreading, protected urea, planting in more trees and hedges. Wasn't a difficulty for you because you have a really great network of trees and hedgerows and greenery in the area.
Yeah, we're surrounded by woods, so
it wasn't going to be an issue with that. And which you have to embrace everything that comes along and go with it.
And the low emission slurry spraying you did, was that a difficult jumpy?
No, as I said, we used a contractor that area. You know, it was. And we looked at it, but it was going to be too much of an investment between a tank and a tractor at the moment. So we said, you know, the contractor.
Kind of behind the contractor, he did the job with low emissions, so he's here.
Yeah, it just works perfectly for us, yeah.
John, turning to you, you must be delighted the way that the whole enterprise has expanded and indeed the success of the farm. You must be a very proud father and indeed grandfather at this stage, obviously.
Sure. Oh, no, because the one was just, you know, you'd hate to see it going down the river, wouldn't you?
You said you took over from your dad, but for Johnny to take over from you and work with you together.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, well, of course, my job is look after the calves and rail the calves and feed the calves and obviously pick calves and go to them after. Right. So that kind of thing. So that's one
And the changes that you've seen since you were doing the milking back in the early 60s, bringing the churn to the creamery, the changes have been phenomenal. But you've actually moved with the times as well.
Yeah.
Which one, Johnny?
Yeah, but the time of the quarters, that was the hardest time. I leased a quarter at the time when we were expanding first. And then you were expanding first. 10,000 gallons of a lease, and I just have to transport it. And then we went down there when Johnny took over. The quarters were still there. And we got a fella up the country. And as I said, we had to go through this system. He couldn't fill his quarter.
So lifting your quarters was huge. And people on the outside don't realise,
twice.
We're really being snared in Ireland, that the potential was there, the grass was there, but we were actually confined to a lot lower limit than people had the potential for.
Yeah, the markets were there. That was the amazing thing about it. Like, it wasn't at the time your skillless, but the markets were there. Like, and like, agriculture was our main industry at the time. And it was disappointing, but thanks be to God when they went.
You always enjoyed daring, though, from a yip boy taking over as a 14-year-old with your late dad.
I was like Johnny when I was young, starting off. I was an only boy, had five sisters, and I used to be hand milking.
Yes.
And they were getting involved, and then you put after horses. At that time, harrow my fields was all done with horses, and like, you grow into the damn thing, and it takes you over, so to speak, and throw it.
Turning once again to Carmel, obviously the Ballyconnery Bow, we spoke about it before the break, setting up this new business where people come out and get fresh pasteurised milk in a glass bottle, bring their own bottle or get the bottle there. As regards enterprise and indeed branding and logos and all that, where'd you go for help there promoting your business?
We live in a world of social media. So when I started off, I was just, to be honest, Kira, I was kind of blagging it. No, so big off, and I'm very lucky that an uncle-in-law of mine, actually, he happened to call one of the days. He's up in Dublin, and he's an animator. It's his career, so he would have worked in like Zorro, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I was fiddling on the laptop for, Jesus, I must put up the logo. He said, what are you doing? So he said, oh, give me 2 minutes there. He just scrolled out the logo just like that, and I had spent days toying over things, but I suppose
it's nature to
second nature when you're tuned that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, he had the cow jump over the moon, and that's
lovely idea. Lovely, but when I saw it, I said, my God, that was a great concept. As regards the name Ballyconnery, did you pick on that fairly quickly, or were you tied to know what you might do? Or obviously it's like the Galvin's down in Portlaw with the Tlashkenny. Using that local name, there's something about it.
Yeah, which sort of people will identify a product with the place. And in this Ballyconnery, there's zero food miles here. The cows, the milk only travels 500 metres down the road. So it was really a no-brainer to use the place name as our product.
And of course, the air coat has been a great success for you. I know you're well assigned for us out here near Colligan, and you know the beautiful Colligan Stone Bridge. You're very close to there.
Yeah.
And as regards the customers, indeed, the families coming, are they mainly from the Dungarvan area, or are they more further afield?
Yeah, so the Colligan Woods would lend to us massively in that. I think when I did the research back in 2023, or 2022, there was 13,000 footfall in Colligan Woods that summer alone. So people who come up with a picnic at the weekends, or they just swing by and have a coffee. We've doing pastries and things out as well. So
it's like, if I don't just milk, you have the coffee, yes, as well. And the other items, I'd be like, we really expanded your range.
It is. It's kind of becoming a bit of a jack of all trades now. But also, we have early bird Trevor over in Ballymont. We have Trevor's eggs.
One of our guests.
That's fantastic. Yeah, very good. And a good friend of mine, Ray Costin, Gary Mara out in Ring. So Ray has started with her organic veg just 2 weeks ago, and that's proved fantastic. Now, they can't keep new spuds there at the moment. So I'm ready to be continuing on now as the year goes on. And we have Doon Pastry and Minehen's Honey again, which, again, I love to support local, and I love to have the story behind it, because you're nothing without your story.
As regards the unit down from the main house, as regards security, do you need a family member around the whole time? How does that work, or how do you work from a security point of view as regards young guys coming out and filling up their milk and off they go?
And you know, people are very, very good. Now we have local ATEC security, the Hansbury's Barone Balniti. They supply our CCTV, which, it's great to have it as a deterrent, and people are aware of it. But I think with a small business, people are very good. Even yesterday now, we were inside at the Waterford Ladies match, and I got a phone call to say, Carmel, there's a bottle stuck. And I don't know who it was, and she didn't know me, but she was able to go and get the key, open the machine, take out the bottle. And I think people are more understanding when you have a small family business, people care. you know, if they've just contact and they'll work it out themselves. So we're always on hand. The phone is there and there's always really someone around. Neighbours as well are very good to us.
So as regards the last bottle, I mentioned the last time I spoke about, it's very nostalgic from my point of view, but it's nothing to beat milk in a fridge in a glass bottle. It gives it that extra special feature.
It does indeed. And you know, Kieran, it's something I didn't think would take off as much. I thought people would prefer, especially families, the larger, say, 2 litre or 3 litre plastic drum that they would have at home. But no, people have embraced the glass bottle and it brings back fond memories for them. And they love to see the cream rise because it's an unimaginized product. The cream will rise to the top. And they'll be scooping the cream out for the porridge or for nowadays, I suppose, is the Americano or the extra creamy latte. But no, we have those for sale below and we like to keep everything as local as we can. Glass suppliers, Irish as well.
And you really expanded the range now.
Yes. Yeah, Jeannie's kind of a jack of all trades below there now. So we started with milk. We have Trevor Power over at the eggs, as I said. We have a local lad, Fanon, below. He chops up pallets, actually. He does the kindling. So that's a great enterprise for him. He's fat out the winter. And we have the eggs. We have Doon Pastries with Dungarvan. And like as earlier, I said, Marie Costa comes over for Ring with her Gary Mara Organic and Mine Hens Honey. Yes. Yeah.
As regards then the bottles themselves, sourcing those quality glass bottles, because it's a lovely shaped glass bottle. Yeah. Number one, there's lovely reusable cover on it. You like people, they can reuse them again, but as regards sourcing them and then putting the brand on it, the Ballyconry Bow brand on for it, how difficult was that?
No, there's companies here that can do that. So we're with Glass Innovations up in the Midlands and they're very, very good there. Gretchen is very, very helpful. I tell her what I want and she has it on the bottle and all above board, meets all the regs and the glass bottle is reusable all the time. So your first purchase, your time to come to Ballyconry Bow, you're saying, Jesus, ching ching, you're buying bottles, you're buying milk, you're buying everything else around you. But once you're a bottle bought, that's it. Into the dishwasher, back again with it.
You must be delighted at the feedback you're getting. You've relaxed. You told me again earlier that you a lot of repeat business, which is great to see. And then people within a 15-mile radius come up to Ballyconry, the Colligan Wood, as you mentioned. It's a great attraction and you're literally just up the road from Colligan Stone Bridge.
Yeah. The woods are definitely a great help to us. And also you have local camping sites. You have the getaway up behind us here and your tours come down because this is a novel idea. Maybe Dungarvan folk are familiar where milk comes from, but you'd have a lot of city folk who wouldn't. They're not marrying the cow with the actual milk that comes out of the fridge, you know. So it's great for the tourists to come along and see it and they're intrigued by it, to be able to come and self-serve their own milk in their own bottle and they'll come back again.
And of course what's great is you've milk all year round. Jenny and Jan are producing that quality milk all year round because it would be no good if you had to cut off
part of these. Like customers love continuity and regularity. You just couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. We shut them down there in November and not back again then till March. You know, you're a couple of months there without that continuity and you need that.
Johnny, as regards this spring, with a good dry spring, silage-wise, what type of crop of silage have? Did you have good bulk in it, or was it a pleasure just having good high sugars and cutting in fine weather?
Yeah, no, we have we missed the first window, but we got the second window of dry weather, and we got a bit of bulk and a bit of quality. Yeah, we were happy enough with the way it decided.
And calving season now, obviously with calves with you, it's an all-year-round process, but you have the right head man, you have to look after the nursery.
Yeah, it like I said, it gives you an opportunity to make sure everything is going right when they're not coming at you so quickly. You know what I mean? When they are spread out, you just have that time to it, and you can give it that time.
And you have a specific calf house for a well-aerated calf house.
Oh, we have, yeah. It's just well ventilated and it was actually designed. Seven of mine there, we just one second. The vet, you know, the vet. The Chavas. Sure, Chavas cows. And, you know, for air, you know, airflow and everything. He sorted all that out for us. So as I said, we went down.
And are you whole milk or a place or how do you manage there?
We whole milk the calves that we'll be selling and we have a lily feeder for the replacement for calves, you know what I mean? So.
And turning to the Minister for Calves, John, as regards the introducing feed and salads, at what age do you try and introduce or what's your routine with your young calves?
Well, the first thing you do the first 24 hours, make sure they get enough of these things in this. It saves a lot of problems. If people attend to that I've missed, you know, it's so key. You get them going and I have another single teeth yoked in and get them drinking over to that and then get them onto the feeders maybe use 8 or 9 more.
And what age do you normally, anyone that you've to Prince them are, what age she?
Like Aries.
It varies.
Well, there are certain ways, okay. And there are certain, like the calves now, my God, we had triplets this year and the one cow's calves made almost 2,200.
Fantastic.
Is that right, Johnny?
Yeah. You know, of course, the calves then in Dungarvan moved to a Thursday. Was that a help?
Well, like, we saw calves today.
They're back on the Mondays again.
And look, 750 for Langusburn and 500 for a single, and then three Angus's again. Like, no.
Yeah. Can't beat it, Johnny.
You know, if you feed them, and look, yeah, it's all right. And I suppose the biggest problem we're going to have, Johnny, is this year is you'll have a department chap will come in and he'll say, you have more calves than cows. We're triplets. We have a lot of twins.
Yes.
We lost very few cows.
And all good and healthy, didn't it?
All good and healthy. Yes. And as I said, we can all, if you look after them and get them going and get them drinking, look after them. And then after maybe we had looked at production to do, staffs into a note, and then meet them if they want. You'll give me those happy here ciders.
But definitely, you have the secret.
Carmel, finally, coming on board with the Kiley Farm, with your husband, Johnny, and John Senior. It's been seamless, the actual progression of the farm, both the dairy farm itself and Ballyconnery Bow, which really been a real game changer.
Yeah. Look, it's something we did worry about when we started saying, should we really go down this venture? Will we just stick to dairy? Will Johnny do the dairy and I'll do the teaching? But look, I suppose there's a bit of teaching and dairy going on between us and no school here.
And getting the kids involved.
Yeah. We've four young girls. And I suppose you have to look down the line as well. You know, is there going to be an option here for four girls farming? This is going to give them the option. They want to go down the line of production.
Well, listen, it's a fantastic success story to John Kiley Senior, Johnny Junior, and of course, Carmel. Well done, Ballyconnery Ho. You're doing a great job, keeping up a great tradition going way back 50, 60, even 70 years with dairy cows here. I'm sure John's father and grandfather would be very proud of Ballyconnery Bow and the farm here on the Kiley Farm in Ballyconnery, Colligan, just outside Dungarvan. So that's it, Damien, this morning from Ballyconnery, just outside Dungarvan. I'll hand you back to studio.
WLR's Week on the Farm, a Dacia Today special on some of Ireland's best farms.
Thanks to IFAC, providing tax and accountancy advice for your agribusiness.